Brittany, you recently walked pretty close to 600 miles. You did it to raise awareness about human trafficking. Why did you do this?
It's a great question. Walking that route was significant on many levels. That interstate corridor is a well-known trafficking route. Traffickers exploit highways and transportation systems for control, from recruitment to moving victims across state lines, especially in areas like Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado, where remote roads and interstates access offer anonymity and opportunity for those who traffic people in darkness. And so this walk for me wasn't just between two cities. It was to take back ground, prayerfully asking that the Lord would stop the trafficking that is happening between these two areas. But also, it is between our two Hurt Campaign locations, two sanctuaries of healing, connected by a road that sadly sees human lives treated like commodities. So we just made sure that we were walking and partnering with the Lord to say, this will not happen here anymore.
So you had mentioned that you have expanded to Denver, and you're even looking at a third location now?
That's right. At Hurt Campaign, we have a nationwide vision to expand this crucial gap of emergency stabilization programs for survivors of human trafficking throughout the nation, wherever it is needed most. And so, starting in Montana, it was a huge gap. We were the first emergency stabilization program to open in Denver, Colorado. And now we are looking at expanding to Nashville, Tennessee, where this is also a gap.
What takes place at a safe house? What goes on there?
The first thing a survivor experiences in one of our safe homes is safety. Imagine a woman stepping into a home where, for the first time in a long time, she has a community that is working towards her safety in the mind, body, and spirit, to where she can truly rest for the first time in usually years. We meet her immediate needs. We provide food, clothing, medical care, and then we surround her with counseling, case management, full body health practices, and prayer. We are at the cutting edge of a program that looks at survivors comprehensively, providing those medical and clinical and spiritual aspects to really come alongside of her and help her to heal, grow, and find purpose.
Could you give us an idea of some of the success stories you have seen already?
One mom came to us broken, having been trafficked since she was a teenager. She went through our emergency stabilization program and a drug recovery program, and today she's reunited with her children and has stepped into a job she loves. Another woman stabilized in our emergency shelter down in Denver, Colorado, and then she entered into a long-term program and is thriving as she works on healing through that continuum of care. We have seen so many women graduate our programs that get married, have children, and build careers they are passionate about. These stories remind us that these women are made in the image of God and that nothing is wasted, and He is seeking after each and every one of them to remind them of who they truly are and to help them walk into the destiny that He set before them before the beginning of time.
Looking at the United States as a whole, on a 1 to 10 scale, with 10 being the most extreme, the worst, how would you describe human trafficking in America?
I would say it's about an 8. It's more widespread than most people realize. It happens in cities, suburbs, and rural areas. But the encouraging part is that God is raising up His church, everyday believers, to answer this issue in their own communities. We do hear that there is an estimated 300,000 children that are trafficked every year in the United States, and that is not even hitting the adults that are being trafficked. So we know that this is a huge issue, but that is one that we are called to come alongside. Right now, there's an estimated only 2,600 beds specifically for survivors of human trafficking that are accessible across the United States. And so here at the Hurt Campaign, our goal is to make sure that we are providing that gap between rescue and freedom and raising up the church to provide safe places for these women to go after trafficking.
How do girls and women become involved with trafficking? How does that happen?
A lot of times it's not what you think it is. We often hear a Hollywood version of people being, people being kidnapped and put into that. While that can happen, that's a very rare case. Usually it is through coercion and force and a grooming period. These people that are trafficking are looking for vulnerabilities. They're doing online grooming. They're looking for broken families and addiction. It can happen to teens, young adults, and even older women. The enemy tries to exploit weaknesses, but we see that God redeems weaknesses for his glory. And so as we encounter these women and these children that have been through this horrible reality of hu what human trafficking is, we can have hope that God does have a redemption plan for them.
I wanted to ask you, are local police departments equipped or trained to deal with this type of thing when it happens or it's reported?
There has been huge gaps in law enforcement of knowing how to spot and identify a survivor or a victim of trafficking. And that is one thing that multiple organizations that we partner with are working on, and the HER campaign is making a priority, is how do we best come alongside law enforcement, inform them of what trafficking looks like, help them to be trained in trauma-informed care too when they encounter a survivor of human trafficking. How can they best meet her where she is and get her to a safe place like HER campaign? But I think you've brought up a good point that across the board, human trafficking, that word and our awareness of it is only about 40 years old. And so we are still on the front lines of needing to redefine in people's minds what human trafficking actually is, what this looks like, and coming alongside law enforcement officials who are already, overworked and already have enough on their plates, but to help come alongside of them and take the heavy lifting of this is what this looks like, and we are wanting to come alongside of you to provide the gap for a survivor to come into our programs so that they have a place after you encounter them.
So I guess I would call this a heart question. Why did you personally decide sometime back to look at human trafficking and take on a mission to challenge it?
I have my own story of God calling me out of darkness into his victorious light and showing me that first and foremost, I am a daughter of the King of Kings. And it is from that identity that we get to operate in our destinies in this world. And so, I think at the core of why I stepped into this, it was that God used a series of events to break my heart for what breaks his. I sat in a coffee shop with a friend who had just gone on a mission trip over to India, and she told me the atrocities of children that were trafficked in brothels, for years, and just understanding what human trafficking actually looked like broke my heart on a level that I had not been broken before. And as God started to reveal the issue of human trafficking and take off the veil from my eyes, and as I sat down with survivors who had been trafficked, another instance that God used was I was a filmmaker in war-torn areas in northern Iraq, and I sat down on a dirt floor with a survivor who had just been rescued from a terrorist organization. And as I'm sitting and listening to her and the hopelessness that she felt, that even though she was physically free, she didn't know what she had to live for. In that moment was a heart cry of God, there has to be something more after the rescue. What is your redemption plan for this woman and for all the survivors that have experienced what she has experienced? And so, from my own healing journey to coming face to face with these survivors and hearing their stories, it was something that I couldn't look away from. And I felt God tugging on my heart, will you be my hands and feet? Her campaign is my yes to him that is creating safe places for women to experience his healing love.
Did you ever feel that at some point or points you got very clear guidance from God asking you to do something or something he specifically set up that was undeniably something he was doing to help you with your mission?
I am a firm believer that God speaks to us today, whether that is through his word or the way that he speaks to us personally. And since the moment that we started on our own healing journey, God has shown up in the most miraculous ways to help us keep us on this path. And it is in the moments of turmoil when we ask the Lord and we start to doubt, God, did you really ask me to do this? I can go back to those pillars of knowing that he spoke in that moment and it was undeniable. We have seen God provide dollar for dollar what we needed exactly when we needed it miraculously. We've had people show up to our doors with checks who have never met us before that knew that because God told them we needed provision for something. We've had divine appointments with just the right person at just the right moment. The very beginning of the HER campaign, we were walking out in the hills in eastern Montana with our kiddos, and out of nowhere, I felt like I had this lightning strike in my heart, and I got this vision of what a safe house would look like, and I just knew that we needed to start it. And so it's just moments like that, these encounters with the Lord across the way, leaning into his voice and giving our yes to him when he asks us to do something, has been the pillar of how her campaign is what it is today.
Going back to the very long walk, the 580 miles, you had understand your husband was with you for protection with the RV, but you also had a friend named Freedom. Tell us about Freedom.
Yes, Freedom is a miniature Nigerian goat. And you know, when we were sitting down talking about this walk and how to really raise up a nationwide movement to get people's attention, somebody jokingly shot out, "Hey, Britt, I think you should carry a baby goat." And we've had goats at our residential programs before. I absolutely love goats. We've raised them. And so what became a joke actually became reality. And or what was a joke became reality. And so yes, I had Freedom walk with me. We took major precautions to make sure that she only walked what her little legs could handle during the day, but we trained her to follow me, and I can tell you that she is thriving. She's doing great. Now that the walk is over, she is just grazing and living her best life at our property in Denver.
All right. So it sounds like the walk was not only challenging, but also very rewarding.
Absolutely. It was one of the hardest things I have ever done, physically, emotionally, and mentally. But I had a friend who sent me this quote halfway through the journey, and it said, "To do something we have never done, we have to become someone we have never been." And this walk, you know, personally for me, was to mold me into something I've never been, to do something we haven't yet done, but we are called to. And we believe that is her campaign, raising up a nationwide movement of the body of Christ to be a safe place for survivors.
On the road, did you sense any divine appointments, something that God clearly wanted you to do, someone you were supposed to meet?
Absolutely. You know, especially through Wyoming, we had so many people that stopped to just ask what we were doing. A lot of people who were concerned if I needed a ride and needed to pick me up and bring me somewhere safe. But in those moments, I can't tell you how many people grabbed my hands and just spoke words of life into me. Some people shared their stories of their own brokenness, of their own exploitation, and how God came through for them. I had people stop and just want to interview, give me a blessing. It really was divine appointments and reminders along the way that he was in this every single step. And, you know, another thing I think is so important, what I realized on this walk, whether it was our friends and our community supporting me doing this, or if it was every single person that stopped along the way to share their stories or their words of encouragement, is it is going to take the full body of Christ to come alongside and fight the issue of human trafficking in our world. And I truly believe that it is something that we can overcome. But this was a reminder that we cannot do it alone, that it takes each and every one of us to join in and to be a part of this, to see it eradicated.
If the people who are reading our story online or listening on the radio want to know more about the HER campaign or to come alongside and help, where can they go to find more information?
Yes, to find more information on her campaign, you can go to hercampaign.org and you can follow us on all social medias. You know, one other thing about this walk is that we did 580 miles trying to raise $580,000 for our program so that we can expand our bed count and provide more safe places for these women to come and heal, grow, and find purpose. And we are still very much on that journey of that fundraiser, even though our walk is completed. So we are asking that people rally behind this cause so that we can bridge the gap for more survivors looking for a safe place to go.
All right. Brittany, I really appreciate you sharing your walk and your mission and your heart with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.